You know, what I need in Jamie Rollins' life, I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, it says, be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit, you know, when we're filled with the Spirit, it's not a request from God. It is a command from God. He's telling us to be filled with the Spirit. And if you want to live a successful Christian life, if you want to live a prosperous Christian life, and I'm not talking about getting a job and getting a $4 hour raise. I'm talking about a peaceful life and a life that you can enjoy with God. And God will bless you. And there's nothing like peace. And there's nothing like peace in your heart with God. I promise you that. And this is the way to have it. So I need this. Amen. I need to be anointed. I'm not worried about you. I'm not going to say, Brother Michael, you need to be anointed. Listen, it's about me. I need to do an inventory of my own life. And I need to look at my own situation and how I'm living. And I need to look at me. I need the anointing of God on me. Not only that, but the prescribing of the anointing. This anointing here, it means to pour over. It means that we've read the scripture, the oil that run down on Aaron's beard as they would anoint a king or anoint a priest. They would pour that oil over their head and let it just flow down. This anointing, it is something that is, it is a running thing. It's not a stagnant thing. It's not a still thing. But the anointing of God is a flowing thing. And if you got the anointing of God in your life, it'll be flowing through your life. Not only the person, the prescribing, but the potency of it. This fresh oil. Not just oil, but fresh oil. I hadn't got to live off yesterday's oil. I hadn't got to live. Listen, last Wednesday night was great. But I hadn't got to live off of that. Today, as I got in my truck, I had 3 hours both ways, so I got a lot of preaching I got to listen to, and I got a lot of time with the Lord. I got to talk to Him and just spend some time with Him all by myself. And what a blessing. I can live off of right now with the Lord. And you can too. Honey, you can have some of the best services that you've ever sit in your entire life if you'll just give God a chance and meet with Him in your private time. Oftentimes at home, Lily's got a keyboard upstairs and Amy's got a piano downstairs and I may be outside and I can hear that piano banging in there and I can hear them singing in there and ain't nobody in the house. They're there by themselves and they're singing and they're singing those songs. And who are they singing to? I tell you, they're singing to the Lord. And they're worshiping Him. And you know, that's meeting with God and that's living on the freshness of the oil. The product of this anointing. The product of this anointing is the oil. We need His oil, not something sensual. I believe today we live in a time to where we've got a lot of mix-ups, and we're going to get into that in just a second. There's a lot of unclear things in the church house today. We don't need nothing sensual. We don't need anything that's emotional. We need the spiritual. We need the Holy Ghost of God to direct our lives. We need Him. So first of all, let's look at what we need the Holy Spirit anointing for. What do we need Him for? Yes, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit come and He lives inside of me. He is inside of me right now. I'm just a vessel for it. But I need to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. I need to be filled with that on a daily basis. Yeah, you can be saved. You can be saved and be backslid and be out in the world. And that Holy Spirit, you take Him everywhere you go. But you know what I mean. This is a Wednesday night crowd. You need to be filled with the Spirit for specific reasons. First of all, I believe we need to be filled. We need this anointing oil on us for clarity. As we look back in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we notice the candlestick that was in the tabernacle. We know that it was in there and that the light was to never go out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somebody tended to the light. And that pure oil olive that was beaten for the light was poured inside there so that it would never go out. You see, that tabernacle, the insides, there was two veils. And the, behind those, there was no windows. There was no other light except that candlestick. And without that, nobody could see anything. And I believe that's the way it is today in a lot of our lives, in a lot of our churches today, is everybody stumbling around. How many of y'all have to get up in the middle of the night and go to the restroom? When you get old, you just got to do those things. That's part of it. And you know what? I like it dark in the house. I like it pitch black. I don't like no night lights. And when I get up out to bed at night, I'm like this. I'm a feeling everything. I know to grab my bedpost first and walk around. And if Amy stuck something right there at the end of the bed, I'm going to stump my toe. And you know, the same way with our lives, if it's dark and there's no oil in the lamps of our lives, you're going to stump your toe. You're going to have problems in your life that will hurt you and be dangerous to you. For clarity, we need this oil in our lamps. We need it for decisions that we make. We need it for direction. We need it for discernment. It's a sad thing. I've been fortunate enough to go to a lot of places. I guess you'd say fortunate to go to places and share the Word of God with people and different places. And it's amazing what's out there. And I hear of a lot of things. Some people call me. Some people ask me for advice. And I hear some of the things that they're debating and some of the things that's going through their minds, some of the things that they're facing in the church house and in their lives. And there's one simple thing that can solve it all, and that's doing it or making the decision in the power of the Holy Spirit. I appreciate this church, Liberty Baptist Church, allowing Brother Ken to be the pastor of this church. Brother Ken has called before and run some stuff by me and said, "What do you think about this?" And I tell him, "You're the pastor." Amen. And he's the back, and he can make a spiritual decision. What a blessing it is that this place has a spirit-filled man that makes spiritual decisions. Does he make every decision perfect? Absolutely not. He'll tell you the same. But I promise you, he seeks the will of God, and he seeks it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I wonder, you know, you think about all the deacons' meetings. We've heard a million stories about deacons' meetings gone wrong in this church. We've heard about it in different churches. Think about those things. If everybody in there was filled with the Spirit, ain't no way you could have some of the decisions made that are made. So we need decisions, direction. We need direction. We need discernment. Thank God Brother Ken's got some discernment. If something dumb pops up or stupid pops up, Brother Ken discerns it. And if you that are filled with the Spirit, you can discern it. And that Holy Ghost will go off inside of you and it'll say, "That ain't right." Amen? That just don't fit. The shoe does not fit. Thank God for the Holy. You see, we're all carnal. We're all fleshly. We are all just regular old human beings. And listen, we think on our own. When we think on our own, we think with our emotions. We think with our feelings. We think all these crazy things. You know, I was at work. I'm going to tell you how crazy we think. I was at work the other day, and there's a rat in there on a trap. Here comes the lady up front, and I hope she, maybe they ain't listening to that, but she come back there in my office and felt sorry for it and didn't want to kill it. It's one of them sticky traps. Things in there eating my cashews and eating my peanut M&Ms. And she didn't want to kill it. I wanted to kill it. That's a rat. You see, we think with our feelings. We think with our emotions. And that's hogwash. You cannot do a church like a church is not a business. You can't run it like a business. It's a spiritual matter. And it needs God's direction in the church house. Am I right? Not only do we need it for clarity, But we also need to be Spirit-filled for correction. For correction. 1 Samuel 16, we notice David there as Samuel went before Jesse and brought all his sons. Jesse said, here they are. And Jesse said, Samuel said, no, that's not the one. And Jesse said, well, I got one more boy back there and he's tending the sheep. And he brought him before him, and what did he do? He anointed his head with oil. What is that anointing? It is a setting aside. He set David aside for king. And you know what God has done? As you are anointed, as you are under the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, as you're anointed by Him, you are set aside and you're set apart from things in this world. We need His anointing for correction in our lives. You'll do things that you never dreamed that you could do without this anointing. And you got to listen to that anointing. A lot of times I'm guilty of this. The Holy Spirit inside of me, the Holy Spirit, whenever I see something, a temptation, or I look at it, or whatever it might be, I think about it. And that Holy Spirit will tell me, no. But sometimes I don't listen. So you got to listen to what He says and obey what He says. We need it for correction. We need it to be set apart and different. And it's still right to live different as a Christian. It's still right in 2024, no matter what the church looks like, no matter what the world says, no matter... Listen, it is still right to be different. It's still right to be sanctified and set apart from this world and look different and act different and talk different and walk different than this world acts and talks. We need it for correction. But we also, I believe, we need it for confederation or unity in the church. We need unity in God's house. You know, I believe we've got unity. I have no idea. I'm not the pastor here. I don't know what Brother Ken knows, but I believe there's unity here. And you know what? In order for this church to function properly, you must be in unity. You know, it's one thing for the preacher to study on Saturday all day and get his message, get filled with the Holy Ghost and be ready to charge the pulpit and preach. It's another thing for the song leader to have songs on his heart and be ready. But I'm telling you the honest truth, all of that will not matter if you, the body, are not in unity. You get out here, if just say somebody on this row of pews is mad at somebody on this row of pews, or if there's friction between the kids, or if there's friction at work or wherever it might be, listen to me. I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to hinder the service where God cannot move in the house of God. I tell you, I know it. It's the truth. It's vital. It's very important. It is a must. It's a necessity for everybody's heart to be right. If you got something against somebody, go to them. Amen. If you got an altar, if you're jealous over somebody, go to them and talk to them about it. We need to act right. We need to behave ourselves, as Paul said, in the house of God. This is the most important. I don't care what kind of job you got. I don't care if you're a doctor, a brain surgeon, a heart surgeon. I don't care what you do. This right here is the most important thing you will do all week, every time of your life that you come in these doors here. This is most important. This is eternal. That job I got over there, I appreciate my job, but I'll tell you what, it's not as important as the house of God. We need Him in church. We need unity. We need Him. You think about bones as they rub together. You think about machine parts, tractor parts, or bulldozers, or whatever. All those metal parts working together in joints and pivot pins and all these things. You know, on your lawnmower, to be more realistic, think about a lawnmower on the spindles and on the levers and all that. There's a little fitting on there. Anybody know what it is? It's a grease fitting. You know what grease is? Ain't nothing but oil, thick oil. You know what you and I need? We need some greasing, don't we? And I'm going to tell you something. In the house of God, if you've got an ought, or if you've got a problem with somebody in the house of God, that lets me know that the Holy Ghost is not filling you. You can't do that. Ain't no way. Last Wednesday night, just think about it, how the Spirit was moving so freely and how I wasn't mad at nobody. Anybody? You know what I'm saying? When the Holy Spirit is flowing like that, and He can flow in your life on a daily basis, when He's flowing like that, you cannot be mad at somebody and be filled with that. I've been in a lot of great meetings. I've been in a lot of places where God just blew through the place in ways that I could never imagine. Just a glimpse of heaven. And listen to me, I've never seen anybody frowning at somebody in them kind of meetings. So, what we need to do, just plain and simple in redneck terms, is we need to get over it. I don't know where all this is coming from. This is not on this little page of notes, I promise you. But you know, hindering somebody, you know, think about it this way. You look across this building, think about Sunday morning. These people that's your brothers and sisters that has nothing to do with the ought that you have with another brother or sister, that has invited their son or invited their daughter, invited their mama, invited their daddy, invited whoever, a co-worker, and been praying over them and begging God to save their soul, begging their child, begging God to get their child right in church. And then you got an ought against somebody and you're bringing friction in the house of God and you're hindering that person right there. Think about that. It ought to put us under conviction, the thought of it. What if one day we get to heaven at the Bema seat, the judgment seat, and we find out that our stupidity, I'm going to call it like it is, stupidity, because most every argument we have is ignorance. Most every, all that stuff is malarkey. Am I right about it? Come on now. Y'all sure are quiet. I hope you're just thinking about it. But you know, most of it's ignorance. And we get to heaven at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and we find out that somebody had been in these doors here, lost as a goose. I'm talking about sitting in these pews. Brother Ken preached his hearts out, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It still takes the Holy Ghost for somebody to be saved. Listen, read Romans chapter number 10. Y'all know that. I ain't got to explain all it. It takes the Holy Ghost for somebody to get saved. And you hindered the Spirit of God in this place, and that person never come back. And they went and died and went to hell. You think about that. This is serious business in here. This is not just somewhere to go Wednesday night and just say, "How y'all doing? Y'all look pretty. I'm tired. We had a good day. Y'all get any rain?" That's fine and dandy. But that's not what this is about. Honey, this is eternal matters in this place. I've seen folks get saved on Sunday morning. I've seen them get saved Sunday midday. I've seen them get saved Sunday night. But I've also seen them get saved on Wednesday night. This is important. Very important. Brother David, as he gets the songs, anybody, Brother Michaels, he sings, or my wife sings, or Miss Emily sings, whoever. It's important that we mind the Lord God Almighty on what we do. I mean verbatim to what He wants. We need it for unity and confederation. But also, if we look at Luke chapter number 10, I believe we need it for curing. for curing things or healing. You know, Luke chapter number 10, when the Good Samaritan, the man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among thieves. We know the story. And then here comes the priest, the Levite. Religion ain't going to do you a lick of good. I got news for you. News flash. Just going to church ain't going to help you. You know, this is the building here. I'm going to tell you what will help you is getting where God's at. We need the anointing for curing what's hurting us. What did that Good Samaritan do? He got down in the ditch with that fellow that had been robbed and hurt. And what did he do? He reached in his satchel and he got some oil and wine and he poured it in the wound. So, just say, for example, you've been hurt. Just say, for example, things have been sour this week. I mean, ain't nothing went right. Everything I'm talking about, if it could go wrong, it's went wrong. And you're just mad about it, to be honest with you. I've been there. I'm going to tell you what'll cure you, what'll help you. That's a little oil. Little oil. We need that. You know, how many of y'all that was here last week? And I keep using that. It's just timely, I guess. How many of y'all here last week when everything was moving, the Lord was moving in a big way? I know everybody. I know folks has got problems. Somebody here has got some problems beside me. But how many of y'all last week was thinking about your problems while the Lord was moving? I wasn't studying it. I was listening. I was hearing what people was bragging on the Lord, and just I was I care less what was on the outside of them double doors over there. While the Lord, so what I need when I get in the dumps, when I get down and out, when I get to the point to where I'm about to flip my lid, what I need is to be filled with the Spirit of God, and then it won't matter. I heard an old preacher one time say, as he was giving a young preacher some advice, a young preacher went to him and asked him, say, he had a problem. He said, what do I need to do about this? He had a problem in his church. What do I need to do about this? There's trouble here. I'm afraid it's going to split the church. The old man told him, he said, go out in the woods, take your Bible, and take you a pone of cornbread. Find you a pine tree, get beside that pine tree, and pray and read that Bible till it don't matter. And that's the truth. Car tore up, something wrong at the house, something's messed up in your marriage, something's wrong with your kids. Listen, get your word. Get in your prayer closet and just pray. And that oppression, that storm will lift, that storm will, it'll ease up on you. And you can get a little bit of relief during those times. So we need it for the curing. But we also need it for conditioning. For conditioning. Some of you ladies, you take a shower, and if you're like my wife and kids, you take a shower, and then you go to getting that bottle on the counter and pumping it. And y'all know what I'm talking about? I call it lotion. They call it moisturizer. Amen? It ain't lotion no more. It's moisturizer. Amen? You know why they do that? Dryness. Dry skin. It moisturizes that skin. You know what? A lot of us get dry. A lot of us get just flat out dry. And boy, it's a barren place, isn't it? This old world that we live in today, I'm telling you, it is barren. It's dry. It'll just eat you alive. It's so hot. And I'm not talking about the temperature. That's hot too. But it's a hot world we live in, and it'll dry you out spiritually. And you know what? I need this place. I need this place. Peradventure, I'm coming to sit on that pew over there. I'm going to be sitting there, or I'm going to be sitting in some pew somewhere come Sunday and Wednesday and other times if possible. I'm going to be in that. Why? peradventure God may speak to me and God may help me. I need that lotion. Amen. I need that oil rubbed all over me. And you know, this oil is something that we ought to, as the Bible, it's a type of the Spirit of God. This oil is something that we, the Holy Spirit is something we never need to quench, right? As you remember last week, as you sit in that pew there, and your heart, you felt like it was hitting you, your waistline is pumping up in your throat and just wide open. You thought you was going to die of a heart attack. He was saying, how about you get up and brag on me? How about you get up and thank me? How about you get up and tell how I saved your soul? That's him. And you know what I've done before? I've sit there like a knot on the log and listened to the stupid devil. And he'll say, what if you get up and it's just blank? What if you get up and you don't know what to say? What if you get up and you sound like an idiot? What if you get up and that, you see, and you sit there and you listen to that stupid devil lie to you. And you know what you've done? You've quenched him. You've quenched him. So try not to quench him. If he tells you to do something, do it for the glory of God. I don't care if it's Sunday morning. I don't care if it's Wednesday night. When, if he tells you to call somebody and just tell them I love you, you call them. If you got to hang up on that, hey, I love you. Just do what he says. John chapter number 2, when Mary and him was at the marriage feast there, and they run out of wine as the servants came. What she tell them to do? Said just do what he says. And if we would just do what he says, not only can we quench him, but lastly, we can also grieve him. We can also grieve him. You know what it means to grieve? Hurt his feelings. Hurt him down on the inside. Just as I could say something to Brother Lee and hurt him deeply, or I could say something to Peg, I could say something to Brother Day, I can say something to hurt you. I could say to one of you, you're ugly and your mama dresses you funny. And you wouldn't like it. And it hurts you down on the inside. These things, you know what? But I want you to understand the Holy Spirit is a person. He's got a heart. And we can hurt him. And you know how you hurt him? You hurt him by taking him places that he shouldn't go. By doing things that you shouldn't do. You can grieve him. You can grieve him. So let's think about these things as we think about Liberty Baptist Church. You know, we live in important times nowadays. This is an important time. Please listen to me. What we do tonight is not just run of the mill. It's not just habitual. This is very, where you're at tonight is very important. I cannot stress that enough. Where you're at tonight is important. If your kids are not here, it's important for them to see that you ain't at home and you at God's house. They notice that stuff. It's important. And let's think about what we can do that'll benefit the house of God. It's not a work-based thing, but we are required to obey. Be obedient to Him. So think about how you can be a blessing to Liberty. Think about how you can be a blessing to your pastor. Think about how you can be a blessing to the leadership of this church. And do it for the glory of God. If you've got differences, if you've got trouble with people in here, with a pastor, whoever it might be, if you've got trouble, you need to figure out real quick how to get over it. And get it right. And don't hinder it no more. Father, thank you tonight for your blessings. Thank you for church. Thank you for this church. I pray you'd bless each and every person in this building. I pray the good Holy Ghost would have His way. And Lord God, this message is for me, probably more than anybody in this place. I pray, God, that You'd forgive me for the times that I've quenched You. I pray You'd forgive me for the times that I've grieved You. Help me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Bless these Your people, please. Bless this place. May it ever be a light on a hill. I pray You'd bless the pastor of this place. Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Anoint him with fresh oil every time he fills this pulpit. Anoint him in his daily walk. Let him walk with You. We love You and we thank You for all You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.